Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. Sand, for most people, would not be considered a precious resource. But sand is the main ingredient in concrete, in glass, in roads, even our electronic devices. There's only one natural resource we use more of, and that's water. Sand, in fact, is a primary material for our economic development. But as abundant as it might seem, sand mining to meet increasing demand has become a multi-billion dollar industry, and where supplies are low, a thriving black market exists.
Doing a research on beach erosion, some people say that people came one night with trucks and guns and steal the beach away during one night, and I was totally shocked.
Pascal Peduzzi is the Director of Science at the Early Warning and Assessment Division of the United Nations Environmental Programme and lead author of the UNEP's report on global sand usage, entitled Sand, Rarer Than One Thinks.
So how much sand do we actually use, and do we really need to worry about the supply of sand?
Yes, we do. But it's very difficult to get because there is no such thing as a global monitoring organization that will tell us how much sand we are using. So what we know roughly from estimation is that we humans are extracting about between 47 and 59 billion metric tons per year of material. But the only way we could estimate the sand is how much we are using for building, because what has been reported is the production of cement, and cement is being used as an ingredient for concrete. So by extrapolating that, we come to a fairly amazing number of about 30 billion metric tons per year. And that's such an amazing amount of sand. To get an understanding of how much that is, you can build a wall of about 20 meters high by 20 meters wide all around the equator. It's the biggest material after water that we are using per year.
What is driving the demand mostly these days? Are there certain regions that are using more sand than others?
Yes, China is using 60% of that worldwide by now. The recent statistic was 4.1 billion metric tons per year of cement, which then extrapolate to 30 billion tons of concrete, and China is using 60% of that. So it's really Asia Pacific region that is booming at the moment, and we're using it for building roads, building big buildings, urbanizations, but also for land reclamation. For example, Singapore and other places are in Dubai are expanding their territory using sand for land reclamation. It's also for refurnishing beaches and building dams, many other purposes.
Your research paper shows that the damming of rivers is one of the reasons that the sand is not being replenished as fast as it's being extracted. How does the damming of rivers impede this natural process of renewal?
Yeah, this is a long journey to go from rocks to sand. It starts by erosion up in the mountains. You have rocks getting smaller and smaller. It gets eroded by glaciers, by different movement, then into the rivers. It continues all the way down to the sea. So when you're damming rivers, and we built so many of those dams in the world, that the dams is blocking those sediment to go down the river and up to the sea. So by keeping those sediment upstream, we do not have this replenishment of sands that end up in the ocean, and that has an impact on coast and beaches.
But it seems that whenever a country sort of imposes a ban, a mining ban, or imposes regulations to mitigate the environmental impacts of mining sand, it just seems to drive up prices and ultimately opens the door to illegal mining. How big a problem is illegal mining?
It's quite big. And you're absolutely right. In Singapore, before the ban to import sand from Indonesia, Thailand, Malaysia, and Cambodia, the price of metric tons of sand was $3 per ton. After the ban, it became $190 per ton. So you see how much then it becomes attractive for people to get to illegal trading, and because the resource, we can't do without it. And certainly there's a very large incentive then for people to make this kind of illegal trading.
But who's buying the sand in these illegal trades? Is it mostly for construction?
Yes, it is. So ultimately, it could be private sectors that is building hotels or skyscrapers or in privately owned infrastructures, but also governments purchasing sand for road or for land reclamation.
Why can't we use the sand in the deserts?
Well, that's right. There's several issues about that. The first one is that most of the desert sand is really round because it's been produced by an erosion process from wind that creates very round grain of sand, and this round grain do not aggregate very well. So that's not what you want is a grain that is broken apart from rivers or from mechanical process that makes it more edgy so that it stick together. So that's one of the things. Now, having said that, some of the desert sand could be used for building, but by definition, deserts are not much populated. And so if you need to move sand from one place to another, it's going to be very costly.
Given sand is so closely tied with the construction industry and the fact that the cities are only going to get bigger in order to accommodate a growing, you know, global population, but also a growing urban population, do we need to think about different building techniques that that are not so much based on glass and concrete, for example?
Well, I'm not an architect, but what I'm flagging here is that we have an issue. We have sand that we thought was really abundant and we could take as much as we need. It looks so infinite, but now it seems that it's not and that we are exhausting the resources. First of all, we have to make better use of existing buildings. Where in Dubai, when they build this tallest building in the world, 31% of the buildings are empty in Dubai. So there was no need except to have the highest tower in the world. So we should make better use of existing building. That's one thing. Then we could recycle material. The problem, we're not recycling the concrete because it's more expensive than getting more sand outside because the sand is basically a free material. What costs is the extractions, but we're not paying for accessing the sand in the sea, for example. So we first need to understand that there is an issue, there might be a shortage on sand, and we need to reconsider the way that we are using it so far.
Given the scale of the extraction of this natural resource and the environmental impact, why is there no international oversight? Why do you think there's such a gap in public awareness on this issue?
I think it took everybody by surprise. I've been working in flagging emerging environmental issues for many years now, and I was not aware of that before I started working in Jamaica, where doing a research on beach erosion. Some people say that people came one night with trucks and guns and steal the beach away during one night, and I was totally shocked that people could actually get violence about such an issue that this seems to be so abundant as sand. So what is happening now is that in some locations, sand is not abundant anymore. So we need to reconsider the way that we are dealing with sand. There is no such thing as a global monitoring because so far there wasn't any awareness that this might be an issue. And we need to raise the alarm that this is one more thing. It's not the only thing, unfortunately. Governments have to deal with climate change, biodiversity losses, water, plus security, and many other things. And sand is just another story that brings this unsustainable development that we seem to be trapped in. But it's something that I feel is really, really big and exponential. It's something that can affect really the environment in a very deep way.
That was Pascal Peduzzi, Director of Science at the United Nations Environmental Programme's Early Warning and Assessment Division. You can read more about how sand is tied to our economic development in my article entitled The Insatiable Demand for Sand, published in the December 2015 issue of Finance and Development magazine. The magazine is available online at imf.org/FND, or you can download the Finance and Development app to read it on your mobile device. You can also hear more podcasts like this one at imf.org or soundcloud.com/imf-podcasts.